Wednesday, 30 September 15, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning in to the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. By the way, this broadcast is targeted for midweek. Sure hope it's at all possible that each of us will be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church this midweek time. We might not meet on Wednesday night, might be Tuesday or Thursday, whenever it is, but let's not forsake these midweek meetings. Well, we'll continue where we left off on our last broadcast. We're in Acts chapter 9, as we see Saul of Tarsus meeting the God-man, Christ Jesus. Father, do bless us now. Speak to my heart, the heart of all of our listeners. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 9, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that is, Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Our Heavenly Father, do bless us now. And God, if there's anyone listening today that's not saved, may they come to know thee as their Savior. And thank you for the convicting, convincing power of the blessed Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll join Saul now on the Damascus Road. He has papers to persecute the people of God. This is not something new with him. When Stephen was stoned to death, he gave consent to his death. When the church was scattered in Acts chapter 8, he was a vital part in that. Not being content to persecute the Christians around Jerusalem, he's on his way to Damascus. He has the papers, he has the power, he has the authority. But what he did not anticipate was he was going to have a meeting he did not expect. He was going to meet someone that he did not anticipate. And that's where we pick up our text. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. That could have been from the countenance of our Lord. We read in the Gospels where our Lord was on the Mount of Transfiguration and how his garment shined, and our Lord Jesus Christ himself is the light. By the way, Jesus Christ will be the light of heaven. There won't be any night there. There won't be any need for the sun or the moon or stars, for the Lamb is the light of it. When Moses met God on Mount Sinai and stayed with him for a long time, when he came down, he was so illuminated by that experience that his face was shining. Well, whatever this light was, could have been the Shekinah glory, but there was a light that shined down from heaven. And then Saul fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Now, what I want you to see in today's broadcast is Saul asks two questions that are vital questions. They're good questions for everybody who meets the Lord to ask. The first question was, Who art thou, Lord? Remember, the whole Gospel of John is written to identify who Jesus Christ is. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. All the miracles, all the parables, all the things that are recorded in the gospel account of John are written to prove that Jesus is who he said he is. And when Saul asked him, Who art thou, Lord? Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, why did he not use the name, I am Jesus Christ? Are the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wanted Saul to realize that this Jesus that he hated, that he despised, that walked on this earth is very God, of very God. And though Saul had given his life to try to defeat and destroy the followers of Jesus Christ, he makes it clear, Saul, this is Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Well, now Saul is going to be led to his second question. And I want you to notice verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, trembling and astonished. I'll tell you, when you meet God, it changes you, does it not? As I said earlier, this is not the gum-chewing crowd just walking down an aisle. They're going to make a decision and think that that's going to make everything right. Oh, no, we're not saved by works. I'm not implying that. But I'm telling you, when a person is convicted of their sin and they're repenting of their sin and trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's not a light, it's not a frivolous matter, dear friend. This man was trembling and astonished, and now he asks the second question. Lord, not Jesus now, but Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Jesus identified himself as Jesus. Now, Saul, hallelujah, Saul identifies himself as the Lord Jesus. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now here's a gold mine. Here's a treasure chest. We'll just look at just a few of them here. Number one, conviction brought trembling and astonishment, and it brought a brokenness to this proud man. We'll read later in the account of the church epistles where Saul tells what all it cost him to be saved and what all he gave up and how he was changed from this lost religious man and into a born-again believer. Lord, what would thou have me to do? And he said, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You know, God doesn't always give us all of our instructions at one time. In fact, if we did, we wouldn't be able to receive them. Even when the children of Israel were conquering the lands as they were claiming the promised land, God wouldn't give it to them all at one time. He gave it to them little by little. If he had given it to them all at one time, they couldn't have taken care of it. And by the way, if he had given it to them all at one time, they would have lost out on a lot of blessings. Dear friend, God knows how much we need to grow. He knows what to entrust us with. He knows how much to let us have. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples one time, he said, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will reveal all things to you. We can't get everything we need right now. That is, we cannot receive everything that we can eventually use. We can't get all that right now. Thanks be to God that he gives us what we need, and he gives us what we need when we can receive it. So he said, now, Saul, your next step is just simply this. He said, you arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. There was still going to be a waiting time for Saul. There was still going to be a waiting time for Saul. This may be the first time now as a child of God that he was going to have to wait on instructions from the Lord, but I'll assure you it would not be the last time. And some of the most difficult challenges we find in our Christian life is waiting for our Lord to lead us and to guide us and to direct us. Oh, dear friend, as our dear brother Williams, our associate pastor, so often says, God is never early and God is never late. If we think God is late, it's because we're in too big of a hurry. If we think God is early, it's because we're not prepared. Well, I see our time is gone for today's broadcast. God willing, we'll take this up on our next broadcast. But in the meantime, as we started this program today, let me encourage you, if at all possible, to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church. I cannot overemphasize the importance of meeting together. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we're to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. If you cannot attend a fundamental Bible-believing assembly, a fundamental Bible-believing church, and you have access to the internet, we would invite you to join us at the Calvary Baptist Church. Services are at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, www.calbat.org. www.calbapt.org. May our Lord bless each of us and make us a channel of his blessing. Please join us next broadcast if you can.